Yeah.
Oh, hello. Where do we look? Here?
Here? Which?
That's awful. All right.
Too many.
That's too many cameras. Hello, and welcome to a filmed live version of I'm watching a movie.
I thought you were going into the thing, and I tried to hit
This is how we start a podcast. If you don't know about it, every time we fuck it up a little bit.
Yeah.
We can swear.
Yeah.
We have to leave our clothes on, though.
There's no rules in this world. Anyways, I don't know what we're doing. We're on the internet.
Yeah, we're on the internet. We're in a live stream. This is a film. I'm watching a movie. It's a slightly smaller one, so we're doing something a little different than we normally do. We're going to call it The Favorite Show.
It's The Favorite. It's my favorite.
It's my favorite, yeah.
Yeah. That's how we came up with the title of the podcast. Let's do the title of the show in the same way. Yeah, so we have two lovely guests with us today.
Yeah.
We have Mr. Marshall Lorenzo, who you might recognize from our most recent episode, Return to Oz.
Mm-hmm. Which the gayest of films.
People have been messaging me about how much they enjoyed that episode.
People have been messaging me about how much they love that film.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good film.
Insanity.
Also, this microphone smells like coffee.
Ooh.
It was the one. It was their microphone, not my microphone.
Secret. So. And we have another guest, too, who's equally adorable, but he's never been on the podcast before.
First time.
Chris Levier, my friend and yours. I've been trying to get you on, but you've been busy.
I have, but I just wrapped up my thesis a few weeks ago, so now I have nothing but time.
Congratulations.
Can you tell us exactly what's going on in your thesis?
Oh, I could, but you don't want to know.
I'm doing Alex's favorite thing where I eat on camera.
No, I hate it.
And on the microphone. It's double now. The way this podcast usually works is we watch a movie that's someone's favorite movie, and then we just talk through it, but we only have an hour. So we're not going to do that. So like Alex was saying, it's called The Favorite. We're going to ask you a bunch of questions of like what your favorite stuff is. And in the meanwhile, we're going to intersperse trivia about the movie The Favorite.
The Favorite.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
Which, as we learned thinking of this idea, the favorite trivia page, the trivia page of The Favorite on IMDb is wild.
It's dense,
really?
Too.
Oh, really? Okay, I thought you were going to say extremely dull.
No. The first one. Okay, this is the first one. The very first thing on the top is Olivia Colman gained 2.5 stone to
like
play Queen Anne. They measured her weight in stone, just off the front.
No, that's a British.
It's British.
No, that's an old timey thing.
No, that's a British.
British use kilograms.
Yeah, British
use
stone.
The British use kilograms. If I go tomorrow,
I'll tell you why the British use stone. Because I read Bridget Jones's diary, and her weight was measured in stone.
Yeah, and how many like trashy British reality shows have you seen where they're like, and then I gained 5 stone. Yeah.
5 stones. That's like 80 pounds.
I don't know the math.
Okay, great.
Have you guys ever gained weight for a role?
Yes, my role is human man.
Yeah.
Just for
the
life.
The role
just
of depression and not understanding what time of day is good to
yes.
eat.
Is it all
producers
the
told me to lose a lot more.
What? For what?
For life.
No, what producer told you that?
I'm talking about life and life. Life's producers. Commentators, my grandmother.
Okay.
The producer of my mother.
Yeah.
My mummy.
Okay.
No, has a parent ever asked you to gain or lose weight?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
My mom never told me that I needed to lose weight, but she has said things like, oh my God, and just 10 more pounds and... Perfect.
I've been medically underweight, and my parents have forced me to gain weight.
Well, that's different.
You put in the effort.
Yeah, you.
Oh, that's why.
The way you walk past Popeyes.
It's why he doesn't like French fries. We got poutine when we were in Montreal, and neither of us really care for it, and we're both kind of picking at it. And then I was like, wait, why don't you like this? And then he explained.
Because my mom, somewhere between 2 weeks and 2 months, would pick me up for school at lunch and give me McDonald's, and it came with a large fries, because like fries is a good way to put on weight because it's like all like starch and protein, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, but you have to finish the fries. So she's just like, I'm just like choking down fries every lunch.
How does she know if you finished it or didn't finish it?
Because I sat in the car with her and she watched me eat it. Because my stomach was so small, I would just throw food out.
So you started with the one piece of trivia, and now we're here.
You know the direction all of my stories go.
There must be a less... Oh, we found that. Way of gaining
yeah, yeah.
Weight.
What the
cream?
Like,
I imagine
the most recent one. You're
most
right.
Cream.
The yeah. most recent time I did gain Classic weight cream. Was I was in surgery and I also got thrush and I couldn't like eat solid foods.
What
like,
is that?
It's where your mouth gets covered in sores.
Yeah. Oh.
From the 1800s.
It's from breath mold technically.
It's like a yeast infection
yeah.
in your mouth.
Yeah, yeast infection in your mouth. It's disgusting.
You do look
yeah.
like you have breath mold. Again, one piece of trivia and we're here.
It's so mean.
You know what it is that we did Hollywood Squares and you weren't
still
mean to
character.
Me. You weren't mean to me in Hollywood Squares.
Yeah,
and then you
got to
get it out now because yeah. normally it's like you reading pre-written insults.
You should let the people know who haven't seen Hollywood Squares, especially for this podcast. Marshall was the angel that's on Kiefer Sutherland's shoulder. That
the
was
lowest,
his character.
The lowest effort character you've ever done.
Mine was pretty
I
low
spent
effort.
The whole Uber ride coming up with that.
And then midway through, you went, he doesn't have an angel.
Midway through, it was his second line. He came out, said, I'm this character, and then immediately undercut it.
That's how you do it, baby.
What was it? But anyway, what we did was we made milkshakes with half and half cream, oh peanut butter, and then like fruit and sugar for taste.
Who did this to you?
My mom to get me to put weight on.
There was a kid in my high school that I would walk around with like a 1 liter carton of Homo milk because he was Ooh. Always trying to gain weight.
Did people call him Homo?
I mean, I had
I
a huge crush
would
on
call him.
Him
Homo.
I had a big crush on him, and I would make fun of him. I wouldn't call him Homo, but I would say like that's gross, and then I'd go home and think like how cute he was.
Okay, let's
I mean, what a bold choice to walk around high school right, with right.
a
big
carton of milk
that says Homo. I
he
mean,
was wait. So hot, and he was so cool that it didn't even matter.
But oh, wait, that's how he did
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he looked cool.
Did he carry it around all day? Was it not
he
refrigerated?
He carried it around for whenever. I think we would have morning classes together.
Yeah, just some chunk
he was
milk.
That hot. That's yeah. how sexy he was.
Yeah, he was.
Long,
he was so hot he could uncurdle
milk. No.
He had longish curly hair to like here, and you'd think I wouldn't like that, but maybe like that. Okay, so okay, we'll start with an easy one. Well, actually, kind of hard one for a favorite. Just favorite a... movie.
So I have. So here's the thing. Is your this is what I posed to everyone? Is your movie the favorite movie that you say to everyone is your favorite movie, or is your movie fact the movie that you have seen the most number of times? Because people will hide.
Okay,
their
let's do.
Favorite.
Okay, let's do both in the sense that like your favorite that you would want people to know, and then your favorite that's truly your favorite.
Well, mine is Batman Returns and Batman Returns. So my argument is moot.
Yeah, you came in the most intelligent thing you've said all day. Like, hands down.
Oh, yeah.
Batman Returns, is that the one with...
With Catwoman, yeah.
Penguin oh, the penguin.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking it was the George Clooney one. Oh.
No, it's Batman Returns because it's written by this guy.
It's
fuck,
insane.
And I completely just forgot. It's Daniel Waters, and he also wrote Heathers. He wrote two movies, Heathers
Shut
and Batman
up,
Returns.
Really?
And he has one that's not produced. There's a script floating out there.
There's another movie, but it sucks.
For a future episode, we should watch that on I'm Watching a Movie because I've never
Batman
seen that.
Returns?
I've never seen any Batmans except for the new ones.
Yeah. It's wild. It's yeah. weird.
It
and
sounds
like
there'd be like a lot of pithy dialogue.
It is,
in
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very that.
And then Michelle Pfeiffer's cat suit did a lot for me as a kid.
Oh, I gotta find this picture of my mom's take on that when I was a kid. Because when I was a kid, I wanted to be Catwoman, and it was based off of Michelle Pfeiffer's "Talk Amongst Yourselves for a Moment." It's not too long ago I posted this.
Mr. Christopher Lavier was
well. Given Marshall's breakdown of the movie I've watched the most, or the one that I tell people is my favorite, I realized, oh yeah, both are Jurassic Park, I think.
Oh, yeah, these are great movies.
But then I have one movie that I always claim is like, I guess, but that's different. Something that was, that like fundamentally shifted or changed you
yeah.
is different than my favorite movie.
Well,
right?
What's that one?
Oh, I don't know.
The general dialogue of cinema.
Yeah, no, Jurassic Park, because it was actually one of the first movies. This is going to sound silly. I think we watched it in theaters. We went with friends, and the one that I'd seen before that was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Mm. And so then we went to see this, and it just felt magical. And every time I rewatch it, I still feel that same magic. even though I'm now older and much more cynical.
I had that exact same thing, too. Like, I don't even know if it was the first movie I saw, but it was the first movie I remember going, this is a movie.
Sorry to interrupt. It's a little blurry. So this was my cousin, Sarah Amelia.
Oh, no.
This was her Catwoman costume. Oh, so no. It's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, her mom is, I don't know if we put it on camera.
She got
if you
the
guys
whole fetish,
can see.
Fetishist
so it's pretty good.
Vibe down.
Like, she has a little, like, barbed wire detail or whatever. This was my mom's
It's just a
version.
Picture of a cat on her face.
I don't know if you can see.
She's like, no, it's like 1960s
it's
Batman.
It's like Ron Jeremy.
What is happening?
So I remember very clearly that is like a weird cat mask nose thing that we got for free at the dentist when you could choose toys. And then some sort of floppy-eared... nonsense and then black everything else.
Do you have a mustache?
It's my whiskers.
I mean, that's not bad. My mom just threw a sheet on me once and was like, you're a ghost.
No, the thing is like your mom didn't try, right?
Yeah.
My mom tried. I have to show you the one where I was Darkwing Duck. This one is too much. Hold on.
That is
here
a
we go. This
good
is a
choice for a child's costume.
Oh, I was obsessed with Darkwing Duck. Okay, so I'll start. Sorry, I'll start once again showing you my sisters. One is like an angel, and one is like I think Minnie Mouse. So this is my sisters. How cute they look.
Mm-hmm. Okay, normal, adorable
the
type
show
child.
The okay, so those are my sisters. Mm-hmm.
This is me. You're gonna put all these pictures
it's
on the on the podcast.
It's pantomime.
It's too big for my face.
If you're listening at home, this will be on our Instagram.
Yeah, we'll put it on the Instagram. Tears in my eyes.
It's insane.
That's so much.
She tried that one. She tried especially.
What are you talking about? It's just a mask.
It's a mask and a sweater.
Like, look at that glove.
Looks like a combination of the old lady and Tweety Bird.
Anyway.
Very good.
Alex, what was your favorite movie?
I think to make Marshall's point make sense, I would tell people it's Network, but I've definitely watched Monty Python's Holy Grail.
Oh, they're so highbrow of
what's
you.
Network?
Network's the 1970s movie about the guy who goes on.
I'm mad
news,
as hell.
Yeah, the newscaster who's like goes on is like in a week's time I'm gonna kill myself on TV.
It's a Broadway show right now.
Of course, of course. Yeah. How old were you when you saw this?
When I saw Network the first time, I was like 17.
I was gonna guess 16 or 17.
How did this get to you?
I read a comic book where in the back the guy said my favorite movie is Network, and I really liked the comic book, and I was like. I was bored and I put on Network and then was blown away.
I think I saw it when I was like 17 too, and I was bored.
It is.
I remember the first time I watched it was like 16, 17, and I just went,
It is literally.
I gotta watch it again.
Nearly 2.5 hours of two people in a room going, well, you can't do that. And, and then long speeches, and like, that's it.
I think when I was a kid, I told everyone my favorite movie was Royal Tenenbaums. And I might stand by that. I really enjoyed the Royal Tenenbaums. And I saw it recently and I thought it held up. But in terms of things that I've watched the most, I guess You've Got Mail would have to be.
It's
great. I just saw it a couple weeks ago.
And how is it coming to you? Are you
You got mail?
In today? Like, are you streaming
it?
Do you
have
a DVD?
I was at my parents' house and they have DVR and my dad tapes every movie that comes on TMN. And so I was like, oh, you got mail? And then my dad had never seen it before and he was watching it with me going like, this is wonderful.
is You've Got Mail one of Nora? Is it
it's
Nora
Ephron's. It's the first one that she directed because Rob Reiner directed. She directed Sleepless in Seattle too. So it's kind of like the spiritual sequel to Sleepless in Seattle.
In my head, those two come out the other way.
No, it goes Sleepless in Seattle first, and then You've Got Mail was kind of like.
You Got Mail
reunion.
Is definitely the better of the two.
I thought so. I think Sleepless in Seattle is good, but like the chemistry and like New York-y feeling and like even just the color of the movie, it's more fun.
And also, what's her name? That child actress who spins around in the chair? And is that in Sleepless in Seattle? With the eyebrows?
Gabby Hoffman.
Was she like...
And she talks in acronyms and everyone's making fun of it. That's how we talk now.
Did You've Got Mail age well? Like, because it's about, if I get it, if I remember, it's about receiving an email, right?
When I saw you got mail late, like I saw, I didn't see you got mail as a kid.
It's
Roger and Ebert's review is
10
in.
Minutes. typing out an email, pressing send.
It feels more like a 90s, like it feels more like a period piece.
It's
of like the
it's
90s.
Like MSN before MSN, whatever the chat room was. I forget
AOL?
What it is. AOL, that's what it is. It's the one that goes, you've got mail.
It really does feel like a 90s period piece. In the way, like, if you watch, like,
it's true.
American Graffiti or, like,
Grease or
something, you're like, ah, all the hallmarks of the 60s. But really, it was just them being like, we're going to make the most goddamn 90s movie.
What technically didn't age well is, so the whole thing is that Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan chat to each other, and then Tom Hanks finds out first who she is because they're enemies in real life because she has a small bookstore and he has like an Indigo like bookstore, and then he takes it's literally based on Indigo. Nora Ephron saw Indigo and wrote anyways I won't get into this but anyways so then so it topples it ruins her business, but he finds out that it's her because they say they're going to meet in real life. She's there first. He peeks through the window and decides that he's not going to. Like, he sits down, but he doesn't actually introduce himself as the chat person. So then it's like Tom Hanks has all the power for the second half of the movie. And then that's kind of when they fall in love, and it's him trying to convince her that he's a nice guy. And then they meet.
Old trope.
But it's kind of, he's like negs her pretty hard, I would say.
Yeah.
And it tricks her a lot. And it would, the ending, I just don't think a woman at the very end would be like, oh, I'm so happy that it's you. I think you would be very betrayed.
Like, I had that, I had that nearly exact same, I told you about this, exact same thing happened to me where I met a girl on Tinder, and then we, like, you know, went out, you know, I had a whole Tinder time.
Did she topple your business?
No, she did not topple my business. I toppled her business.
Oh boy.
No, I didn't want it.
But like this third-ish time we hooked up, she told a story, and then it kind of let slip. I'm like, oh my god, she's been to the disaster, and like is just keeping that unknown. And then by the end, I'm like, hey, you know, and like she knew who I was.
Mm-hmm. How old was she?
We would both have been 27.
Oh, that's a little too old.
Yeah.
Because I would say that's something I would do in my early 20s, late teens.
Yeah.
Is I would know way too much about the person I had a crush on. But now it's gone to the point where I know nothing about anybody anymore.
Well, I also like to me, it's like I don't care if she saw me on the thing.
Yeah, to be honest about
it. But like, don't wait till like we've hooked up three or four times.
Yeah.
Ooh.
To then slip, and then I have to, and I solve the riddle.
What was the slip?
She mentioned like
something disgusting that happened on the disaster.
No, she we were talking about bars, and she's like, "Oh, the Osden's cool. They do a bunch of cool shows." And I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." And it's like, "They do a bunch of cool shows," and then she started saying something, and then abruptly stopped mid sentence. Like it wasn't a good slip,
right?
And it's like, you know, like I run a show at the Osden's. Oh, really cool. It's like.
I mean, trickery is a big part of 90s rom-coms.
Yes.
Yeah. Tricks in general.
Yeah, that's kind of like the second beat in all sitcoms, right? It's always, and you know what I like about the Mindy Project, who takes a lot from Nora Ephron, is midway through they'll be like, it would just be easier if we all told the truth, and Mindy would always be like, I don't want to, and then they continue the action.
Anyway,
that was a good time to do a trivia.
I got a good one right here.
You got a good one? Okay.
It's the shortest sentence on the trivia page.
Hmm. Yeah, they're like paragraphs.
The Wigs have their own trailer.
Thankfully, someone's fighting for the Wigs.
Meanwhile, me over here, I get half a trailer when I do TV shows that don't even have a toilet in them.
You need to get the Wigs.
The
agent.
Last thing I filmed, my trailer was a folding chair under a tent.
Who's Wigs? Oh, I guess.
The Queen.
The Queen.
Yeah, because I was going to say, Rachel Weisz didn't wear no wig.
That was unnatural hair.
Emma Stone did either.
But there were the men wore the
you're right
the
oh yeah
I think my favorite part of the favorite was the duck
the
race that's a true thing right. After I saw the favorite I was like there's no way that's true and then I looked it up it's mostly true
you mean the movie in general
is mostly true. And I forget what other movie came out at the same time that was claiming to be Green Book claiming to be really real. very fictitious. Yeah. The favorite,
claiming to be subversive, so,
yeah, and
not,
fake, yeah. Very,
full parody
very
of a movie
real.
Now.
Yeah. All right, I got another one. Oh, your favorite movie experience.
Oh,
favorite movie experience.
I mean, you already kind of showed Jakod's a little bit.
Yeah, getting an HJ.
Wait, what? Oh, actually, I don't know how this has come back to, round to okay. Batman Returns again. But,
you've only seen one movie.
Mine has to do with Jurassic Park, but you go on.
I went to go see it in Dundas Square. Like, they were playing it over Christmas because it's a Christmas movie, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it is.
It takes place during Christmas.
Which is a qualifier.
It snows.
Yeah, in the same way Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
And there was like five people in the movie, and right before the lights go down for it to start, this guy comes in full head-to-toe latex Catwoman costume. Full. And like just came in with his like popcorn drinks, like wallet, and was just sat front center.
That's where you got
himself.
That idea for that sketch where you walk heavy in heels.
Yeah.
Marshall has a sketch. I think I talked about it on the last podcast where it's him just clomping in heels, like having, like entering, like them keep calling him into the office, and it's like, oh, it's truly one of the funniest.
I've always said it's the laziest thing I've ever written.
It's the funniest sketch I've ever seen. It makes you
cry. I'm with Marshall on this. That it is, it's so lazy.
No, you weren't. You were a part of the day where it was being made. I came as an audience member.
I wasn't. I came as an audience member,
did you
too.
Come as a, no, it's the best
I remember seeing
I've ever
it and
seen.
Watching you cry.
Crying.
Because I was at the back with you. I showed up just for in time for that sketch. Is the first thing I saw, and I was like,
did it make
Marshall
you mad?
Phone the fuck
made you
up.
Mad, huh?
That's
made
why. That's where
mad.
Me and Alex differ greatly. Chris, what's your favorite movie experience?
My favorite movie experience. I mean, if you go like on the sweet edge,
okay,
it's going to be that Jurassic Park moment with Dad and taking all the friends out to see that movie. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if it's not like super saccharine sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to.
Getting an HJ.
I was.
Let him finish.
No. There's a time where both me and him. I'm wondering if we're going to tell the same story.
I was thinking about that one.
Yeah.
I was going to tell the story of the time that a kid threw up on my shoes.
That's your favorite movie experience?
It was because I got to feel indignantly outraged at the mom because the kid was just
that
in line.
The mom's fault.
Mom's fault. The mom. So I was talking to my friend and. The kid and the kid went, oh, I'm not feeling well. The mom said, we're in line, we're not moving. And then he threw up on my shoes, and the mom just looked at me and went, that'll happen, and then walked out of line. And so I thought, oh, I'm in the
that'll happen.
Yeah,
that's that's some rough going. That's it's stories like that that make me not want to be a parent.
It's experiences like that that make me not want to be a parent.
Yeah. Oh, you grew up and treat women badly, that'll happen. Yeah.
What's the Chris Levy story?
We went and saw Detective Pikachu together.
Oh, a recent story.
Yeah, this is very recent. We saw Detective Pikachu together, and so we're watching the movie.
Which wasn't bad enough or good enough, but continue.
Agreed.
two children for adult and two adult for children.
Yes. But there's a guy, like after the movie starts, he stands there, and like he's standing like front and center, and like standing wearing his backpack and like watching the movie, and clearly wasn't like... neurotypical. Like I don't know what it was, but it wasn't like he was reacting in a correct manner. And someone like comes up and is like very politely, it's like, hey, you need to sit down. Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, okay. And he sits down like front and center, like looking up, watching the movie. He laughs at the wrong times, and then like he's standing again. This eventually escalates to him starting to fight a wall in the theater and screaming at the theater.
Oh my god!
And then everyone's like, and like someone like squeezes past them, and like a guy comes and is like, hey, you can't do this, and security guy comes and is like, you're gonna have to leave with us. And the guy's like, not leaving, and more security comes.
They can't.
And they pause the movie.
Oh no.
And they've paused the movie, like turn on the lights, and more security comes, and the security's like comes in, and the second security comes in, and I guess he thinks it's a very different situation than this, like very calm, like everyone's kind of sad of like, oh, this is an unfortunate situation, a very calm, they're trying to get him to leave, and the guy just walks in and goes, oh, you did not pause Pikachu, and then that scares the guy at the backpack, and he just bolts out the emergency exit, and they're all like, oh, he wants to run, and you see like all the security run up the emergency exit, and the like the guy, like the little like the theater guy, is like, "Do you guys want to take it back? Do you guys want to take it back like 5 minutes?" And everyone's like, "No, it's fine. We're following the plot of Detective Pikachu." Yeah. And so it starts playing Detective Pikachu. It plays for like 5 minutes. Then there's such aggressive banging on the emergency exit. Like, it's not done.
Oh my God.
And they can't get out that way because it just leads out to the street. So they keep banging, keep banging, keep banging, keep banging. Like, they bang for a while. And then someone gets up and like opens the emergency exit door for them. And it's them pulling the guy out.
Oh my God.
And then like people start leaving to go get like refunds on tickets, I guess. I don't know.
We stayed.
And then I rather enjoyed Detective Pikachu, but I was telling someone, we were just talking about like Detective Pikachu, and he's like, "I mean, it really drags in the middle." And then I was like, "No." It was fine.
Don't and understand like the, how these are your favorite experiences.
I got live immersive theater.
You get barfed on. You have a security risk.
But you know what? Perhaps qualifying it as my favorite experience is a little harsh.
Okay.
Well, what's your favorite experience?
Okay,
but
I'm
also,
thinking
the ending to Detective Pikachu is wild.
Yes.
But anyway.
Does he become a human? Does he become Ryan Reynolds?
Wow.
Same.
I was shocked. I was at home and I stood up.
Really?
Yes. I was mad.
I've stood up at home for one movie, and that was on Golden Pond. And I was yelling at the screen.
Why?
Because you're in your home and you can do as you wish.
That's the most emotional reaction on a Golden Pond has ever gotten.
I just felt so bad because we're all going to die at some point.
Oh, man. All right.
Now your favorite.
My favorite. Okay, if we're going in terms of favorite movie experiences that aren't good, once I was babysitting and we went to go see Despicable Me 3. And we get to the movie theater and it's at the Carlton.
Is that the one with Sandra Bullock?
It might have had Sandra Bullock in it, yeah. No, that's Minions. Oh, no. This is the one. This is the Minions are just a side part in this.
Hey, which is Sandra Bullock?
She's in
the Minions movie. The woman.
It's the only reason I clicked play. Anyway.
So we get there with the kid, and you can get slushies at the Carlton Cinema.
Mark.
And the kid really wanted a slushie and popcorn. And I said, "Sebastian, it's 12:30 in the afternoon. You've only had pancakes. If I get you popcorn and a slushie, you'll be very sick." He goes, "Please, oh please, I promise you I won't be sick." And he was kind of sad because like I'm there for 2 weeks straight. His parents were both like filming stuff and like I was with him for like 13 hours a day. And I was like, always just placating him with food. It was really bad stuff that I was doing with that. So he begs me and I go, "Okay, fine, I'll get you popcorn and a blue slushie." But I tell the guy, I was like, "Can you please half fill it? Can you just give him a taste?" He's like, "We can't do that."
Yes, you can, Dennis. Jesus.
So then he eats the slushie, he drinks slushie, he eats the popcorn. We got about 20 minutes in. He has to go to the bathroom. He's a kid, so I have to go to the bathroom with him.
Yeah.
He's clearly having terrible diarrhea.
Oh my God.
But he's a kid, and it's a men's bathroom. And I keep going in and people keep giving me hassle. And I was like, "Fine, I'll wait on the peripheral." And he's like, "Yeah, give me privacy." And I just hear him going, "Ow, ow." So then after about like 15 minutes, he gets off. He says he's okay. And I go, "Sebastian, I think you should stay on the toilet a little bit longer because you don't understand. But like, this is something, as someone who gets diarrhea a lot, I was like, this is
how it works.
It's going to come back." And he goes, no, please. I don't want to miss any more Despicable 3. Please, please, please." And I was like, "Okay, fine." We go.
Oh,
10 minutes pass. We go back. Basically, we spent, like, of the 90-minute movie, we spent 75 minutes on the toilet. And then we leave the theater, and he's like, "I'm starving. Can I have a hot dog?"
I like this kid.
And so whose kid is this?
This is Aurora and Chris's. Right. Yeah. So then I was like, "I'm not going to get you a hot dog," because I was right about it the first time. And then I go, and he begs and begs and begs the entire time. So finally I break down and I get him a hot dog. But the rule was he had to take one bite and wait 40 minutes.
Oh my God.
I was like, first metabolism.
40 minutes?
40 minutes.
Until it gets cold.
In kid time. That's like bedtime.
He had to do it because I needed to know if he was going to have raging diarrhea, and then he was able to finish the hot dog. It was his deal. It was the deal. And that's my favorite movie experience.
That's so funny.
My other one is that once I went on a date and I saw Jurassic Park 3D and he picked me up in a Jeep playing the Jurassic Park theme music.
What?
That was the best.
Did he own a Jeep?
Or
did
he own a Jeep?
Oh, it'd be so shitty. Fiona
GP was like, his parents were super rich. Fun fact, you all know him.
Is it Wayne Jones?
No, it's not Wayne Jones. No, Wayne has independent money. I don't think it's from his parents. No, but but yeah, and so then he picked me up, and it was too much fun, and like that was very exciting. So that one in the diaries.
Would he date me?
No, he lives in California now.
California. See, I got a clue.
These are mystery clues. I'll just tell you later.
Just yeah, you're gonna have to tell me later.
I'll tell you later. You all know him.
I think I know who it is.
Okay, if you guess right, you can say his name online on there.
Is it Gangle?
No.
Oh.
That's
James
a good guess,
Gangle?
Though, right?
No, that was awful.
Is okay. James Gangle rich? Okay, take this off.
Erase
this.
Okay, move on. Move on.
Okay. We'll do a trivia. Okay, yeah. You ready?
What you got?
Better be better than a trailer.
All right. Now, that thing is pretty good.
Yeah, trailer.
Okay, during the filming of their first sex scene, Emma Stone was nervous that she would go up too high on Olivia Colman's leg. Colman had the idea to borrow a large makeup sponge and put it between her legs for Stone's hand to touch. In an interview on the Graham Norton Show, 2007, Colman said Stone was very surprised. Her face was a picture.
What?
So she surprised her by putting a sponge between her legs, and then when Emma Stone went to put her hand up to diddle her, she touched the sponge and it shocked Emma Stone.
Because
that's the trivia. She wasn't expecting a sponge.
Oh.
What do you mean because? I realized you are two gay men sitting on a couch.
Oh yeah.
I didn't understand.
This is smooth like a Barbie down here.
You're like, I guess they're like sponges.
Yeah, they bounce right back when you Oh, wait. Next question. How much time do we have?
We got it done. I gotta leave at 4. So
We have 7 minutes.
One more question.
Okay, my favorite question. Favorite thing about each other. So we each have to say one favorite thing about each person.
Can we do another question?
The favorite show.
We only have 7 minutes. We'd have to dig.
You got diggy. Yeah. You got 7 minutes, starting with Marshall.
What? Do we say favorite things about him?
Yes, you're going to say... Okay, let's all say one favorite thing about Marshall.
Maybe I don't hate this.
Okay, Chris, you start.
Like a sincere thing?
Yeah.
And
then if you need a joke, you can get it out after.
Okay.
But
two things.
I want a joke now.
One is that I love your sense of humor because you're always so. I love watching you perform because you're always so big with your characters, and that's always so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
I just enjoy our chats.
Aww,
which are
yay!
Often at night over gin, but
and outdoors for some reason.
Yeah. This roof is really throwing us off. Yeah.
You guys like to chat outside. All right, Kalanko.
This is a movie show.
Dig deep, Alex.
You funny.
She thinks you're funny?
You're fucking lying.
Oh, my God.
I think you're funny. I throw to you for jokes so often.
Fine,
wow, what a high praise that Alex Klinko would deign to throw to jokes to somebody else.
This couch over here is very funny. Everything on this couch is super funny in comparison to the rest of the room.
No way. No, you're negating the point of the favorite.
You
All
knew
right.
I was going to.
All right, I'll save
you. You threw me this category. I have a brand to uphill.
You said I wanted to see it happen. One question left. This is the one I wanted. All right, my favorite thing about Marshall. Oh, there's so many. Well, first of all, he's my phone background. We'll show it to the cameras again.
Such a visual thing for a recruited podcast.
What do I like about Marshall? Well, he is very funny, and he's so sweet and sincere. And when you do have conversations with him, you feel very heard and listened to. And he's cute.
All right, Marshall, now say a good thing about Marshall.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, like that? It's going to take 45 minutes with if we all have to go there.
No, Marshall can't say a good thing about Marshall.
I was going to say I finished a canned margarita drink in less than a minute last night. Thank you.
I can't clap for that. All right, now about Chris Levier. Everyone pile on him.
I got to go soon.
Chris, I like that you always do the bit with me where you smash my drink.
Oh, he'll never stop doing that. Chris, you know me, you're my best friend. we hang out and watch so many movies together and make each other laugh so good.
Alex loves you so much. Chrissy talks about you all the time.
I really do.
Oh, bless.
I once said to my girlfriend, I love you and everyone else sucks. And she's like, there's still Chris left. That's a real exchange we had.
Oh, my God. I love Chris so much, too. I've known you for a long time, I feel.
Yeah, for almost... five.
I think
years?
I've said it before, and I was like, you're just a very delightful person, and I don't mean that in a like, I mean that in the literal sense. Like, if I were to think of the word delightful, it would be Chris Lovie, because it's light and effervescent and just a good hang. And you were my director for, do you remember when I was in the long form program like 8 years ago?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And our thing was called When the Leviers Broke, and I just remembered that the other day.
I forgot about that team. I forgot that that it had my last name in it.
Yeah, because you were our director, and I just thought that was very funny. Aww. And then it fell apart ever so quickly. Mm-hmm. When the Leviers Broke. Great, cool. Now it's time for Kalenko.
Oh, we say nice things about
nice
that?
Nice things about Kalenko.
I'll start. Do you want me to start?
Please.
Alex, that's a sad face, but this is a good thing. I enjoy all the time that we spend hanging out. We make each other laugh, and you're a wonderful creative partner. You're one of my best friends, and
check
mark.
That reminds me, I do have business news to talk to you.
Alex, not now. All right, Marge.
Okay. This may not seem like a compliment, but.
Now I'm so intrigued to what happens next, because if Marshall knows how to like truly compliment me, it's to start with that sentence.
But my favorite thing about you is that you mean to me in a way that makes me feel like I'm at home in New Zealand. Does that make sense? You know what I mean?
I know, we've talked about this
you
before.
You ribbed me well.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, what do I love about... Well, favorite thing about Kalenko.
He owns the podcast recording.
He owns it? He always edits the podcasting. He lets me talk at him.
With food.
I like just spending time. I feel very comfortable spending time with you and very... you're just like a very thoughtful, emotionally intelligent person. And it's nice to hang out with someone like that. And you are funny and you're funny and you teach me so much about murderers.
I do know a lot about murderers.
You know so much, that's why we became friends.
And that's all the time we have for the episode.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought was going
to
happen.
I do have to go.
I'm not even joking. I knew this would happen like this.
You know, you're my favorite.
Push it in.
Push it in.
Shove it in.
I like Vite because she always keeps it light and keeps it very friendly.
Oh, yeah.
And also is a very good listener.
That's surprising for me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And laughs at the right things.
Yeah. Good.
Except for heels.
My favorite thing is that I always feel welcomed by you, no matter where we are or whatever is going on. I always know that if I find you, that everything, like, I'll be safe in the moment.
Aww.
My favorite thing is that you are, this is underrated quality, the best conversationalist.
Oh, that's nice.
There could be nothing happening, and you can fill an hour.
That is true.
That is true. I was like, I want to start a podcast with someone. It has to be Vita, because there can be nothing, and she'll fill it.
This was truly nothing that I came up with when we were bored in
Montreal. Yeah. This is a contingency plan of a Montreal show. Anyway, I got to go.
You got to go. Hold on. Let's read one more favorite trivia before you go. The final one.
Sure.
You ready?
scroll.
There's a really good one in there. Hold on.
Do you know it? Because I was going to read a sad one.
No, I was going to read this one.
Okay, go.
Filming began March 20th, 2017.
Okay, wait. Can I say mine, though?
That was very funny that it was nothing in this.
Here we go. Robbie Ryan briefly left the film midway through shooting because his father died. Stephen Murphy stepped in as director of photography.
Oh, wow.
And on that note, thank you, everybody, for having us. Thank you, Anna Maria, for including us in this thing. Yeah. I don't know what we're doing, but I like it. Thank you, Marshall and Chris. Alex, get out of here.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.